Today on Seculo is the filibuster filibusted. We're looking at a showdown tonight in the U.S. Senate.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
The majority of my colleagues in the caucus, Democrat caucus, they've changed. They've changed their mind. I respect that. You have a right to change your mind. I haven't. I hope they respect that too. I've never changed my mind on the filibuster.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
If the Republicans block cloture on the legislation before us, I will put forward a proposal to change the rules to allow for a talking filibuster on this legislation, as recommended by a number of our colleagues who have been working on this reform for a long time.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So here's the issue. That sound you heard Senator Manchin say, "I'm not changing on this," that was last night. So we've got two U.S. senators, both Democrats, who have committed up until this point into sticking with the 60-vote threshold, the traditional filibuster as we know it in the U.S. Senate currently, that requires getting to 60 votes to end debate on a piece of legislation and then actually go to the majority vote on that legislation. By the way, neither one of these senators has expressed, to my knowledge, real opposition to the actual vote, to the actual legislation here. They just don't believe in the nuclear option for a legislative nuclear option to end the filibuster for, quote, important legislation. But I want to go right to Than Bennett, Washington, D.C., because, Than, this is the day. It's got a schedule, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. We know this is going to happen pretty quickly, and we will know by then, tonight, if Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema stick to what they have been preaching the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and if they don't stick to it, Jordan, it will be nothing but a 180-degree about-face. It will mean they've been lying to the American people. I don't think that's the truth, by the way, Jordan. I think this effort by Leader Schumer is destined to fail. I think he's going to push it over the cliff anyway. I think he's doing it to pander, honestly, to the left side of his base and his caucus. But here's essentially what's going to happen. The vote on cloture to wrap up debate on this bill that they just started debating yesterday, Jordan, is going to take place at 6:30. Republicans, if they wanted to, could push that to tomorrow. But Jordan, this is kind of evidence that they're not obstructing anything here. They're saying, look, if 60 senators agree to wrap up debate, we can wrap up debate. That vote will take place at 6:30. They need 60 votes to clear that hurdle. It will certainly fail. Jordan, I would expect Manchin and Sinema and all of the Democrats to vote in favor of it. So you might get to about 50 votes, but it won't get to the 60. That is when, Jordan, we expect Leader Schumer to try to nuke the filibuster. We can talk about all of the specifics of this, but it really boils down to this. He wants to use a simple majority of the Senate to do away with the legislative filibuster and to force this legislation through. It is not expected that he is going to succeed. He's going to fail. But Jordan, he's going to push the Senate to the brink anyway.
My question for our audience, and if you want to talk to us on air, the 1-800-684-3110, do you believe it's just pressure from the left that Senator Schumer and these Democrats feel like they have to hold a vote that is almost certain to fail? I don't like to claim victory on this until it's done, but they've been told for weeks that, hey, by these two Democrat senators, I don't want to vote the way you're asking me to vote. So is it liberal pressure? Is it primary pressure, potentially from AOC? She's still got time to file to primary Chuck Schumer for the U.S. Senate. I mean, or is it just an out-of-touch liberal leaders on Capitol Hill? I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110, because as you heard from Senator Schumer, he'll try to say, if Republicans block the legislation. It's not Republicans that are really standing in the way of this. Yes, it prevents them from getting to the 60-vote threshold. But if the party was so bought into this and they had done their job, then they would have gotten the two votes to switch the rules. I mean, I don't think it's a good idea, but we've seen senators move different positions on that, especially when it comes to judicial nominees, not when it comes to legislation itself. We're going to get into this, but I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. It's like loss after loss after loss. You have to wonder if you're the Biden team, if you're President Biden. Yeah, you're getting pressure to hold this vote. You missed the MLK deadline. You missed all these key moments. Why still take another loss? What is the point of just losing and losing with your own party? Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, now I want to give you a grassroots job today. It's pretty simple. It's two phone calls. It should be very quick. You call the Capitol switchboard if you're watching the broadcast right now, and share it with your friends and family if you are, because I think this is important to do until 6:30 p.m. Eastern time today. You give a call to the Capitol switchboard, 202-224-3121. So you make two separate calls. One, you're asked to speak to Senator Manchin's office. The second, to Senator Sinema's office. Both those times, I want you just to be encouraging and support their position on the filibuster and retaining the legislative filibuster, to not cave to pressure, to stand up for what they believe in, and to thank them for continuing to do that in the vote later on today. Simple message, positive message, because Than, what we know is that when you have two senators like this and the vote is now scheduled, they are the two who are under the most tremendous, even Nick Saban, the Alabama coach, he's got a West Virginia connection. He's been a supporter of Joe Manchin before. Nick Saban is out there saying, in the filibuster, in a letter to Joe Manchin. I mean, they are pulling out every possible stop to try and get a vote switch on from Manchin and Sinema. So they're going to be under tremendous pressure today, them and their staff.
Yeah, I was going to mention the Nick Saban letter, Jordan. I called him the greatest of all time. I still think that's true. But look, he's wading into politics in a big way today. And look, I think it's just an example of how much ire these two senators, and I would even say maybe Mark Kelly and John Tester, maybe a couple of others who don't have a public position on this, they're going to be under intense pressure today, Jordan. And look, that's not entirely a bad thing. I mean, you and I have advocated on this show time and time again that elected officials need to hear from the voters. They need to hear from the constituency. But here's what we know today. Literally the entire grassroots effort from the progressive left, and I would say even the radical left, I mean, they are going to be focused on these senators today. So, Jordan, those of us who think that they're doing the right thing, we need to weigh in as well. And like you said, it can be polite. It can be supportive. Actually, it should be. They're standing up against a lot of withering pressure. But it needs to not be one-sided in Washington, D.C. right now. It is going to be deafening from the left and from the side that want to do away with Senate rules and Senate precedent to jam this through with only one party's votes and to really take control of elections, Jordan. So given the fact that we know it's going to be deafening from that side, those of us who think they're doing the right thing, they should hear from us as well today.
Yeah, again, the number to call, Senator Sinema's office on Capitol Hill and Senator Manchin's office, it's the same number. You just call it a couple of times. It's 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. They'll connect you right away. And listen, this is a positive phone call. You're thanking them for their stance on the filibuster, and you're encouraging them to vote that way later on today, thanking them for that vote later on today to retain the legislative filibuster. Thad, I want to get into some specifics here about what people, because this is something every people that are really follow politics closely, like our audience does, we know this is a and we're going to get into some of the details more. What they're voting on is a federal takeover of the election process. I mean, starting with making Merrick Garland, the AG, the election czar, to having to pre-clear every kind of election rule change through the federal government, regardless of what state you're in, regardless of the history of that state. I mean, so the broadest federal takeover of the election process in history. But at the same time, and I think just for people to understand what is going on today, while that vote may occur and they might see a Sinema and Manchin vote yes on that, what's key is they will not get to the 60 vote threshold, which then triggers the debate about the filibuster.
Yeah, really well put, Jordan. I mean, just to remind folks, the way we got into this posture is Speaker Pelosi took a bill that was about NASA. It was H.R. 5746. She took out all of the NASA language, and she dumped in language from two separate bills, H.R. 4, which is most people are calling the John Lewis Voting Rights Act bill, and then also S-2747, the Freedom to Vote Act. Jordan, that was a bill that was actually originally sponsored by Amy Klobuchar, but when Manchin and Schumer were negotiating, he signed on as a co-sponsor, and they're really giving him credit for that bill at this point. But let's just call that bill what it is. It's essentially the For the People Act, H.R. 1 or S.1. And you're right, Jordan. I mean, you just think of any mechanism of a federal election, that those right now belong to the states, you know, setting hours for voting, locations for voting, registration for voting, how to secure ballot boxes, whether or not you can have ballot harvesting, all of that stuff, Jordan, even redistricting, all of that stuff that currently belongs to the states would move to Washington, D.C., and the federal government would take that over. So on the substance of it, Jordan, I mean, I really don't think this is hyperbole. This is a horribly dangerous bill if you believe in federalism, if you believe in state control of elections. And look, I've got a very strong disagreement with Senator Sinema and Senator Manchin on the substance of that bill. They're both co-sponsors of it. Every Democrat in the United States Senate is a co-sponsor of it, Jordan. So I disagree with them on substance. But the United States Senate is supposed to be the greatest deliberative body in the world. You're supposed to be able to either come to consent or to have endless debate until the debate is up. That is what's under threat today. So you're going to see Manchin and Sinema vote for cloture on the bill, and then when it fails, you're going to see Leader Schumer try to get rid of that deliberative debate and get rid of the legislative filibuster, and that's where Senator Sinema, Senator Manchin, and maybe, Jordan, a couple of others are expected to stand up for the institution of the Senate.
How quickly will this all occur, Thad? So from 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, if Republicans, like you said, don't hold this over another day, is this occurring like within an hour or so?
Probably so, Jordan. What you would have is you'd have a roll call vote on that cloture vote. And so, you know, roll call vote, depending on how long it takes them to get there. And right now during COVID, sometimes that's taking a little bit longer. Let's say that takes an hour. That would mean at about 7:30, Leader Schumer would have the floor again, and he would be able to make this appealing to the chair. Now, there would be a few minutes of talk, Jordan, but technically that motion is not debatable. So you would see them move, if Leader Schumer insists on it, and there's an appealing of the ruling to the chair, you would see them move to that vote really quickly. I think you could get there as soon as 7:30, and unless there's some sort of delay, which, by the way, Jordan, Leader Schumer could initiate, but if he doesn't, I think no later than about 8:30 p.m. you'd move to a vote on this. And I'll just say that's what we expect to happen. He does have a couple of parliamentary procedure options to change the posture of the Senate, but some version of that vote, Jordan, is expected to come up sometime tonight.
You know, we got a couple questions came in. I saw it. I didn't see the name, but said, you know, if I'm outside of West Virginia and Arizona, can I still make this call? I think so today. This is a national issue. This is not just a state issue specific to West Virginia, specific to Arizona. This is a national issue to abolish the legislative filibuster and to allow this voting law, which is so divisive. And Senator Manchin, while he supports it, has acknowledged that too, is that they haven't gotten buy-in from any Republicans. There's no bipartisan support for it. So again, to take this vote to an entirely partisan way, I think make that encouraging phone call. And then Diana asked, what is the number? Diana asked, here is the Capitol switchboard number that can connect you to Senator Sinema and Senator Manchin's office. It's 202-224-3121. And I want you to be kind. I want you to be polite. You are thanking them for their position and encouraging them to vote the way they have pledged to vote later on today to retain the legislative filibuster. Simple message, 202-224-3121. Now I want to go back to Thad because we're going to bring in the team to get into some of this and remind people about why we are so opposed to this legislation. But Thad, why Senator Schumer? I mean, you know, we brought up the AOC challenge potentially, the pressure from the left. But it seems like for Biden and the whole team going into midterms, having another loss on the sheet is not helpful to the everyday voter when you take out your hard left base.
Yeah, you'd really think that, Jordan. I mean, we've said so many times on this broadcast, you don't take a vote on the floor of the House or the Senate until you know you're going to win it. You continue negotiating behind the scenes until you have the votes to actually get that across the floor of whatever chamber you're in. It sure looks like Leader Schumer is doing the exact opposite. So I think your question is a good one, Jordan. I'm really left with just really two things. One, I do think he is fearful of a primary, specifically from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You talked about the dates for filing. They're coming up this spring. That primary is in June. I think he's legitimately politically fearful about that, and I think he's trying to protect his left political flank. I don't think that's rhetoric, Jordan. I think that's actually reality on the ground. The second thing, though, is I think there's such a desperation for a win from the Biden administration that even a loss trying to do what they perceive their base wanting is seen as a lesser of evils between just walking away and admitting defeat. You know, I don't know if I agree with that rationale, Jordan, but I think that's what they've come to. They've lost on so many things in a row. They don't want to walk away without trying, so they're going to take this vote. But look, I mean, it's always about the numbers in Washington, D.C., and if you're going to alienate two more of your United States senators in a 50-50 caucus heading into a midterm election, to me, that's pretty short-sighted, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, Thad, we'll tell you this when we come back from the break, too. There's going to be some discussion as part of this, potentially, where it sounds like Schumer is trying, and I just want to get it all on the table for people as they're going to watch this later on this evening, and where he looks like, oh, he is trying to preserve kind of parts of the filibuster, talking filibuster, and historically that was the filibuster matter, but you know, we'll get into that too. We're going to broaden out too and get to some of the issues here, but my basic question for everybody listening right now is, do you think this has any chance of passing? Do you think the Democrats have any chance tonight of actually busting through and ending the filibuster when it comes to legislation they deem, I guess, important is how they would do it? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Listen, I never claim victory until this is over. I would ask you to call Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema's office if I thought this was done. But, you know, we know the pressure campaign is super intense on those two senators right now to change and then try to change it in a narrow way. Oh, you're only doing it for this issue or that issue. We'll take your calls when we get back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Just a minute. I wanted Dan to walk through one more part of what we might see tonight. Something I like to do on our broadcast, it's different than any broadcast. I like you to be as educated as possible before this, so it's not just 5 minutes that you heard on cable news. So we walked through for you the mechanisms of how they get to this vote. They'll fail. They will not get enough votes to get cloture on the issue, and so then he will go to the parliamentarian for this rule change where the votes will be on the line to where you've got to have 51. And right now, he's at 49, it looks like. That could be worse for the Democrats. There are a couple senators who just haven't spoken out on this yet. Senator Kelly from Arizona, Senator Tester from Montana has not spoken out much about this. So I think that once, you know, a couple of senators vote this way, it might open the door for two more. But we know the key senators, Manchin and Sinema, that's where the pressure is. But then, one thing to try and get their votes and try to also make sound like he's reasonable is that we're going to hear tonight potentially about, well, we're going to preserve a talking filibuster. Tell people about that.
Yeah, I think when he offers this motion, Jordan, he's going to say we're still going to allow a talking filibuster, which will allow senators to debate this as long as they want, according to Senate Rule 19, which says that senators can speak up to two times on the same legislative day to the same question. And he's also going to say, Jordan, it's only going to apply to voting rights legislation. And this gets a little technical, but I want people to really understand this. In a true talking filibuster, Jordan, any senator can offer a new amendment or a new motion or a new question, and that resets the clock for senators to be able to come down and debate twice. His talking filibuster, Senator Schumer's, would eliminate that ability to offer new questions to the Senate. So it would still, Jordan, guarantee that there will be an end to the debate, and that end to the debate can be accomplished with only 50 votes plus the tie-breaking vote of the vice president. So it's really a ruse, Jordan. It's not the restoration of the talking filibuster. It is just a distraction from the fact that he's lowering that threshold. The other thing that I want to just quickly mention, he says that it's only going to be limited to voting rights legislation. Jordan, look, there's been a lot of hypocrisy, I would say, on both sides of the aisle on the filibuster. Sometimes a senator's position depends on whether they're in the majority or the minority and whether or not they like the filibuster. I personally do like it. But here's what I would tell everybody out there, regardless of how they feel about the filibuster. There can only be one set of rules no matter who is in charge. So Leader Schumer can say, look, I'm only going to invoke it on this one measure. Jordan, it would be a dereliction of duty if an opposing party, no matter who makes this change, comes into office and subjects themselves to a set of rules that the other party does not abide by. We can't have that in the United States Senate. So if this seal is broken, no matter what Leader Schumer says, the legislative filibuster, Jordan, it will be gone forever.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go right to the phones on this. Let me go to Bobby in New York on line one. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Hey, Bobby.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, guys. I want to know if this bill goes through, can it be, by the way, Niagara Falls, New York. If this bill goes through, can it be challenged at the Supreme Court level? That's my question.
Well, listen, I think we're at a point right now where we can defeat this. If we keep the right kind of pressure on today, if you call the Capitol switchboard, you make that grassroots phone call to Senator Manchin, to Senator Sinema, because again, we've got them on the record even as of this morning with Senator Manchin. It would take both of them flipping on this issue. So, you know, I don't want to. I will get there. We're going to talk about your question, but I don't want to act as if we can't stop this. We right now have the winning hand. Now we've got to continue to have that throughout the day. There's going to be tremendous pressure on these two senators today to switch their votes. So we have to watch carefully if they make any public comments before the voting starts or any other statements. But call their offices. Tell them that you support them. 202-224-3121 to contact Senator Manchin, to contact Senator Sinema's office and say, I stand with them in supporting the filibuster and I'm encouraged by the vote they're going to take tonight. Thank them for that vote tonight. But Andy, the truth is, if this legislation somehow ended up on President Biden's desk and was signed into law, yeah, I could see a lot of challenges to various pieces. One of the pieces I think is the most outrageous, it comes from the Freedom to Vote Act, is that states cannot maintain fresh voter rolls which is something they do during every census when you realize who's moved, who's died, who should be off the voter rolls. And this makes it like a crime for states to have up-to-date voter lists.
You know, that's a good point, Jordan. It's unbelievable to me how any legislation could pass through the Congress that would hamper the states from keeping fresh voter lists at hand and purging voter lists of dead people or doing things that are just make sense in terms of keeping the voter list fresh and the people who vote the appropriate persons. And again, and I think to the caller's comment directly, is it challengeable in the Supreme Court of the United States if it should become law, if it should be signed by the president? Ultimately, I doubt that will happen. But if it does, yes, there are many grounds upon which it can be challenged in the Supreme Court of the United States, one of which you mentioned, based on the constitutional provision, my view, that gives states the rights to set up the means, manner, and method of holding elections. And this would, again, be a federal power grab that could be challenged in the Supreme Court. Yes, indeed.
Let me go to the phones again. Wendy in Oregon on line 3. Hey, Wendy, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just wanted to reach out and encourage everyone to please call. I just did it. It was a new experience for me. It takes 60 seconds. And you just, you know, I left a message encouraging them not to be bullied by their, you know, fellow Democrats. And I just want to encourage everyone to do it. It's very simple, very easy, and it's very quick.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you say. You can call both in probably a couple of minutes or less. That number is 202-224-3121. You're nice. You're positive. This is a positive idea. They're on your side right now. And you want to say, again, exactly what we were talking about there is a simple message of support to do the right thing tonight. We know that you're under pressure. We know that you're being bullied by your party. We support your position on the filibuster, and we're encouraged by the vote you're going to take. Thank you for the vote that you will take later tonight to preserve that filibuster. But, you know, Wes, we get through into all of this. Again, I am not someone, I don't ever claim victory before. This is not done yet. We walked through all the mechanics of it with Than, but I mean, it is far from over when you've got the apparatus that the Democrats do and the pressure that they've got. I mean, even they got college football coaches putting pressure on people like Joe Manchin.
Amazing, isn't it? It really is. Yeah. You know, they are determined. Generally, the Democrat Party, they walk in lockstep with one another. It's very unusual that Sinema and Manchin are holding out. We, again, need to encourage them to do that. I think for Chuck Schumer, there is one motive in all of this, and that is his own political survival. They realize they're going to lose probably both houses of Congress in the fall. He realizes that when he comes up for re-election, that the left is very unhappy with him. AOC will probably try to primary him in New York. She's very popular there. This is about his own political survival. He's willing to attack two of his colleagues in the Democrat Party and to put the Senate through this because he wants to be able to say to the people on the left in his home state, look, folks, I tried, I did my best, my colleagues would not go along with this. That, to me, is part of the most disingenuous part of this whole charade, and that is the political motivations of Chuck Schumer.
All right, our second half hour coming up. We're going to go through again. What are they actually voting on tonight? You know, why is there this pressure campaign, this federal takeover of the elections? You should be up to speed on that. And I will remind you, Senator Sinema and Senator Manchin, they don't oppose that. They don't oppose the legislation. They oppose the idea of turning the Senate into the House of Representatives, where there's no 60-vote threshold, so there's no idea of consensus, building bipartisan support for major pieces of legislation. Second half hour is coming up. Join us. If you're watching the broadcast, share it with your friends and family. Go to ACLJ.org. Support our work at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
I want to play this sound. This is Senator Chuck Grassley. And he's talking about the bigger issue here, because I want to talk about that as well. Why are they making this push so aggressively? I think some we've talked about, there's individual pressure on these senators that they're facing from the left of their own party, potential primary challenges, even to someone like Chuck Schumer. AOC still has time to file the paperwork to challenge Chuck Schumer. So he's got to look like he'll do anything possible, even take a massive loss as a leader of the U.S. Senate to try and appease the far left base. Now, I will tell him, as someone who works in the base of the right, you can't appease everyone all the time. You know, and when you try to do that, typically you're just going to weaken yourself when you're taking votes that you know are going to fail. But I want you to listen to Senator Grassley, because he's someone who is about bipartisan compromise. Take a listen, Bite 13.
And so it is absurd to say only one party, unilateral governments, can save democracy. But once an exception is made, and they're talking about that exception just for this voting rights bill, but once an exception is made to the right of all senators to debate and to amend legislation, there seems to be no going back. You learned that. Democrats learned that in 2013.
There again, talking about judicial nominees, where they said, we'll do it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And when Republicans came in and said, we're not going to let you filibuster our Supreme Court nominees, you did it all the way up to the Supreme Court nominees, so we'll just do it for the Supreme Court too. And that changed everything there. But it hasn't ever happened when it comes to legislation itself. I want to go to Harry, because Harry, one of the things that Senator Grassley has focused in on there is that bigger pressure campaign. What are Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema facing? They're being told that without your vote here, without changing the rules, democracy is over. Racists have won. Radicals, fascists have won. And unless we change the rules, and as Chuck Grassley said, do this in a unilateral, one-party solution with this federal takeover of the elections, we've given up democracy as we know it.
Certainly that is the claim, and of course the claim is nonsensical. Imagine the President of the United States, Joseph Biden, claiming that if you don't support voting rights, that you must take your place in history with John Calhoun and Bull Connor. Well, what he forgot to mention, of course, is that both of those individuals were what? Democrats. And so what we have in front of the American people is simply a sham, a masquerade, a charade, and it's all about power. So essentially, the Democrats have engaged in a deliberate effort to rig the election. They are attacking a law in Georgia which provides greater voting access than is available, for instance, in Delaware and in many northern states. They've attacked the attempts by Republicans to ensure voter integrity in Texas. Why? Because the Democrats, they want to engage in vote harvesting and other malicious efforts designed to do what? To subvert democracy. So when they claim they are defending democracy, in reality, it's quite the opposite. It's a shell game. It's a sham. And I hope the American people see through it.
Yeah. So, folks, when we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. If you've got questions about the actual legislation, what's in this that is being voted on tonight by the U.S. Senate, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. If you got questions about this move to change the filibuster, I mean, we're down to a couple of votes. And a massive pressure campaign that continues as we speak on those two senators, Manchin and Sinema, right now. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, so you can ask about, got a question about the filibuster, got a question about what's actually in this legislation, why we call it a federal takeover of the election process. We'll walk through more of that, too. We come back from the break. Again, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. Also, if you called their offices, if you called the Capitol switchboard, I'd love to hear from more of you who made that phone call. Encourage others to make that phone call. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Part about this, this is why I want to get the specifics of the legislation, why we oppose it, is that it's pretty obvious. Mike Lee talked about this, but why are Senator Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, and they've gotten Joe Biden to come out now and change his position on the filibuster and say this is how you save democracy? This is about the only way they think they can save themselves. Now, it's not to say that I think that Nancy Pelosi is going to lose her seat in San Francisco. Chuck Schumer may or may not get a primary challenge, but it's not really, you know, it's the idea is that they'll never be in leadership in the rest of their life. This will be it. The coming wave is happening. They have 28 now members of the House, Democrats, who have retired or announced their resignation, who are not even going to try. They don't even want to try. Some of those are in deep blue districts who just don't want to be in the minority. They'll say, hey, let someone younger come in and fight these battles. I've been there before. I don't want to go back to that. So this is, it's a last ditch effort to try and put these really draconian laws on the states. And I want to spend some time on that as well, because what are they actually voting on tonight is important too. So let me start with Scott's call from Tennessee on line one. Hey, Scott, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
We're good.
I'm calling about Article 1, Section 4, where it says the times, places, and manner of holding the elections will be prescribed in the state legislatures, but Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations. Does that mean that they could technically pass a voting rights bill and it would be constitutional?
They have before. So they have before, where the Supreme Court said for one part of that voting rights bill that was passed during the Civil Rights Movement, and it was the re-challenge of the court. They said this has been in place long enough. This needs to come to an end. And a lot of this push was because of that move by the Supreme Court. So, Harry, I mean, yes, we've seen time and time again. I think you'd have to look at, you go provision by provision. And some would fall constitutionally. Some might not. But it's up to whether or not it's good or bad policy. We believe, ultimately, this is bad policy, and that the right place for this to stand is in the states. This is not about time, place, and manner. This is about your voting rolls. This is about how long you've got to be open for. It's about making the attorney general, the elections are, the U.S. attorney general, the elections are. The idea that every change to voter integrity laws would have to get pre-cleared by Congress and the federal government. This is, again, it's a Democrat Party takeover the election system, not a congressional one.
I think that's precisely correct. And when you say it's a Democrat Party takeover, it's important to keep in mind that it what we are really talking about is a takeover by progressive elites who seek to ensure what? Tribalism and globalization as part of their approach to destroying essentially the idea of America. So, for instance, if you actually look at the Constitution, as the caller just did, Article 1, Section 4 gives the power to control voting to the states. It's also clear that there are certain constitutional amendments that affect voting access, such as the 15th Amendment, the 19th Amendment, and the 26th Amendment, which require that the voting rights of U.S. citizens cannot be abridged on account of race, color, previous condition of servitude, sex, or age. But beyond those issues, the states, as a general rule, are in charge. But that's not what the Democrats are satisfied with. They want progressive elites who generally went to Eastern elite institutions to control who has the right to vote so that progressive policies, which largely consist of ideological abstractions that no rational person shares, they want to make sure that those ideas are enforced so that they can push policies which are not in the interest of the American people. They are clearly in the interest of China and other global powers.
Here's where it gets really nutty, is when they start invoking previous senators who were involved in some of the biggest hate groups in our country at the highest levels as reasons why, oh, they would support what we're doing. I mean, really, Chuck Schumer, take a listen to this bite.
Historically, changes to the Senate rules have been necessary to adapt to changed circumstances. Even Senator Byrd, a traditionalist, said just that.
A traditionalist. I mean, he is the grand cyclops. I don't say that laughing. He's the grand cyclops of the KKK. And remember President Biden's speech. You would think that you don't invoke people like that because President Biden, in that speech he could have said, are you Senator Byrd or are you a Dr. King? Just as easily. Bite 26.
How do you want to be remembered? At consequential moments in history, they present a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis? This is the moment to decide, to defend our elections, to defend our democracy.
I mean, and it's tough. No, I mean, no principles, no moral qualms. They will invoke Senator Byrd on one day in a positive way. On the next day, they're comparing other Democrats like him, which, by the way, I just reiterate, basically choose a side. They're putting all Republicans and their two colleagues on the side of Jefferson Davis and George Wallace, but Senator Byrd, they could somehow rectify.
Yeah, they can reconcile the Ku Klux Klansman, Robert Byrd, who was in the Senate forever and ever from West Virginia, and then he's okay. There's nothing wrong with him. He even saw the light, but no one else does. Look, this statement that the president made, how do you want to be remembered, consequential moments in history, I think that is the most divisive, historically incorrect, but divisive statement that a president of the United States has made in any memory that I have of presidential statements. And they claim that Donald Trump was divisive. What is he saying? He's saying you're either Martin Luther King or you're George Wallace. You're either Bull Connor from Mississippi or you're John Lewis or you're either Abraham Lincoln or Jeff Davis. What nonsense to draw those kinds of lines in the sand. Look, this is a Democratic power grab. People need to see it for that. These are Democrats that he's invoking. Robert Byrd was a Democrat, as Professor Hutchison said. John Calhoun was a Democrat. Bull Connor was a Democrat. They don't want to tell you about that. They just want to say, look, we're going to look at history as it is in our eyes, in our viewpoint. This is, again, a divisive man, Joe Biden, making a divisive speech, not respecting the history of the country, not really giving it its due.
Well, he could not invoke Senator Byrd because who gave the glowing eulogy of this former leader of the KKK at Robert Byrd's funeral? Yep. Joe Biden, senator from Delaware, gave the eulogy at that funeral. So we can't do that. What I think is just so rich and crazy about this and so pompous is that this is a policy disagreement. Whether or not you think the federal government should control the elections as opposed to your state, it's a policy disagreement. What the president did in Atlanta last week, besides mischaracterize the Georgia law, which obviously he has not read, but he took half of America, because about half of America disagrees with this law. He took half of the United States of America and claimed that if you don't agree with me, you are racist and, like Jefferson Davis, you are a traitor. This makes Hillary Clinton's, you know, little quip about the basket of deplorables seem pretty mild, because I think she meant that there were a certain amount of people who were in this basket of deplorables. It wasn't half the country. But to Joe Biden, if you don't agree with this policy, you are a racist and a traitor. And he's telling that to half of the nation. It's unbelievable.
Than, you know, I'm going to go through some of these other provisions of the law. We come back and we'll kind of talk. We're talking about a little about Ukraine, too. Again, the pressure ramping up and the language from the White House. Pretty concerning. They say, you know, it could be imminent, could happen at any time. So we'll talk about that a little bit, too. And take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. But right now, this is all set. I mean, things can change in the Senate, but this is all set to happen between 6:30 p.m. tonight and, you know, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, after Leader Schumer met with his conference last night, Jordan, he announced this. The vote on cloture, which again is ending debate on the bill, is going to take place at 6:30. It's going to fail. It will not get 60 votes. It'll probably get 50 votes. It'll probably get Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema. But then that puts the Senate in a posture where if Leader Schumer wants to, he can try to nuke the legislative filibuster. And he has said that he is going to. He has said he is going to ask Democrats, even though he doesn't have enough votes to do this, he doesn't have the 50 votes he needs, plus the vice presidents to get to 51. He is going to try to end the legislative filibuster for voting rights legislation. And Jordan, hit the expectation from both Leader Schumer's words and what has been told to the rest of the Senate is that that's going to take place right after that 6:30 vote ends.
All right, folks, we're going to take your calls. Final segment coming up, 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments, too, on Facebook, Periscope, wherever you're watching the broadcast right now. I encourage you to share it with your friends and family. And we'll also give you that grassroots push. There is something you can do today to help defeat this legislation and defeat this attempt to take out the legislative filibuster. So we'll talk about that as well. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
We'll get right back into the voting rights and the vote tonight and the filibuster and what you can do also grassroots to make a difference here, to let your voice be heard in just a second. But I do want to update, because I know I was on the broadcast yesterday, but we were updating you on what was happening in Ukraine. And some pretty troubling language came out of Jen Psaki. Just to give you a sense of where the White House is thinking this stands as of right now, take a listen.
I think, as I noted a few minutes ago, we believe we're now at a stage where Russia could at any point launch an attack on Ukraine. I would say that's more stark than we have been.
So there you go. More stark. That happened after we were on the show yesterday. Could happen at any time. And Wes, we also know our Secretary of State has extended his visit to try and meet with the Russian foreign minister one more time tomorrow in Switzerland.
Yeah, and this is a critical moment. And by the way, you know, incidentally, it's no coincidence that yesterday Russia announced that they were going to do joint military exercises with China and Iran. But here's the thing. Vladimir Putin is waging a geopolitical war on Europe, not just Ukraine. Like Hitler was in the ramp-up to World War II, he's intent on rewriting national boundaries. He's already invaded Georgia and Crimea. He has now sent troops into Belarus, into Kazakhstan, you know, and all indications are, Jen Psaki's right, that an invasion is imminent. They launched a cyber attack last week, which was to test Ukraine's abilities to defend their infrastructure and their communications. The U.S. intelligence is reporting that they have now planted operatives, Russia has, in eastern Ukraine that can execute a false flag, in other words, attack their own troops and blame it on Ukraine, giving him the pretext to invade. Talks between us and Russia collapsed last week. There are 100,000 troops on Ukraine's border to the east, but also on the south in Crimea, Putin has more troops to invade from that vantage point in the south of Ukraine. And now thousands of Russian troops are in Belarus and being sent there for alleged war games with Belarus. But it also gives him a northern point to launch an attack into Ukraine as well. All indicators are that this invasion is imminent. And in addition to combat troops, what we now know also is that Putin has already started sending what are called combat support troops to the border with Ukraine. These are hospital units, fuel, food, those kinds of things. You only do that if you're planning on an extracted combat operation.
You know what, folks, we're going to stay on this. Of course, we've got a team like Mike Pompeo, Rick Rinnell to keep you updated on through the week and watch very carefully if anything occurs. It's something we care about deeply on the broadcast because, again, it's another U.S. failure. That's not good for our country. I don't like that, the idea. Yes, you can rack it up in the Biden list of failures. But this idea that we're just not feared by the world, that we are not, the world is not concerned about where we are on the issues. Let me switch gears, though. Than, one thing we've asked people to do is to call the Capitol switchboard today and encourage Senator Sinema and Manchin both to remain strong on their pledge to vote to uphold the legislative filibuster. People still got time until 6:30 p.m. Eastern time today to make that phone call.
They sure do, Jordan, and they're going to be getting lots of phone calls from those who actually want them to switch positions on this. And I'm with you. I mean, I've just seen senators change their minds too often. Just maybe I'll refresh people's memory. He said, Senator Manchin said he would never be for the People Act. He actually wrote an op-ed in a West Virginia newspaper about it. And then he changed his mind about a week later, Jordan. So look, these are going to be positive phone calls that we're putting into these senators' offices right now. But I tell that story just to reiterate, it's not just some abstract senators that changed his mind on this issue very recently. It was actually Senator Manchin. So let's reiterate to him that we stand with his position on this. And Jordan, just one point I would make on the substance. The substance of this is really so bad. You can listen to the rhetoric. They say, look, we want to make it easy for people to vote. Look, I agree with that. I don't think it should be difficult to vote. But here's the definition of it being difficult to vote. If a state says you have to have a photo ID to prove who you are, and by the way, we'll give you that photo ID. Jordan, that is deemed to be making it difficult to vote. That can't possibly be the case if we want to have secure elections in the United States of America. So the substance on this one is very, very bad as well.
No, absolutely. In fact, if you wanted to make that legal change, you would then have to get pre-clearance from the federal bureaucracy, Harry.
Absolutely. So what we are dealing with is something that I would call a requiem for reality. In other words, the left is driven by an ideological cesspool called the land of make-believe. So what they are doing is that they are treating steps taken by states to improve election integrity, which are non-discriminatory, and then claiming that the states are doing this to discriminate on the basis of race, sex, or some other immutable characteristic. I think the American people can see through this. I think the real question, though, is whether the progressive elites, particularly the ones who are called senators, can actually look at the evidence right in front of their eyes. And I think it's important to keep in mind what Christopher Hitchens said, a disbeliever in God. He said that if I saw evidence of healing right in front of my own eyes, I would disbelieve my own eyes. And I think that's precisely the case for many of the senators, particularly the Democrat senators in Washington. They disbelieve the evidence right in front of their eyes. And so Georgia grants greater voting access than the state of Delaware. They can't see it. Same thing is true of Texas and other states. And so they prefer to live in the land of make-believe, unfortunately.
And I come back to this provision because it's in both bills that they combined here. Anytime they don't want the voter rolls to be up to date, it's like it just screams out, because we want to engage in fraud. What would you be concerned about there? They're not trying to take off people who might still be on there. In fact, they're very careful about that. It's only people who have definitely died or definitely moved. And so a lot of times you've had to give notice to the state for them even to remove you. And yet that alone has to go through preclearance, has to get proved by the federal bureaucracy because they want bad voter rolls?
Yeah, they do. They want those dead Democrats to keep voting. And that's exactly what this is all about. It is an attempt, if you look at it nationwide, to keep the Democratic Party in power through whatever mechanism you do it, the Robert Byrd type, Strom Thurmond type Democratic Party, keep them in power. And if it means violating the Constitution, if it means abrogating what the constitutional provision says with regard to the rights of states in doing these salutary things, keeping the voter rolls intact, early voting, as they have ridiculously attacked the law in Georgia, which they have never read. I doubt President Biden has even read an executive synopsis of the law to see that it is better in terms of voter integrity than his own state of Delaware, that it says that you have to ask for a ballot before you can just get it, that we stop this idea of wholesale ballot harvesting and all these things. But because Georgia enacted it, it's got to be somehow fundamentally, systemically racist. Nonsense.
And final question to you today is, you know, we've got this scheduled for 6:30 p.m. Do you see the potential for any moving around here? Or are they pretty much set in this vote?
I think Leader Schumer is committed to taking this vote, Jordan. I could see maybe some adjustment in the posture that he would do or maybe how he would describe the talking filibuster. But at this point, I think he's committed to doing it. I think he's going to make his senators walk that political plank. I mean, Jordan, it's shocking to me because a leader of your party is supposed to sort of protect your own members. He's not doing that here. But, Jordan, I do not think he's walking away.
So, folks, we know that now. 6:30 p.m. Eastern time tonight. You know, tune in. Watch the news. Stay up to speed with us at ACLJ.org. And of course, on tomorrow's broadcast, we'll explain and break down everything that happened. You still got time to reach out to Senator Sinema. Reach out to Senator Manchin. Call 202-224-3121. We will talk to you tomorrow on Seculum.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.